Richer van Porchlight. Dat is een viertal uit Brighton. 2 jaar na hun debuut-EP Wife's Tales and Hymns of the Earth brachten ze dit nummer afgelopen week uit. En in die tussenperiode sleutelen ze in slaapkamers en hun repetitiekot aan nieuwe muziek. En dit is dus het eerste resultaat dat we daarvan te horen krijgen. En er zal nog meer volgen. Enkele weken geleden stelden we de jonge postpunkers van Pomona voor uit Manchester. En voor de tweede single van hun debuut-EP hebben ze het over de geur van asfalt die er ontstaat nadat het lang niet geregend heeft. Dat is namelijk Petrichor. En dit is Petrichor van Pomona.
The earth tastes like something lost. Like forgotten days, every drop pulling something deep from this fractured clay. With their coats drawn closed, clouds in a silent sky, the pavement holds our echo, dissolved in puddles and sighs. Petrichor fills the city like a hymn on the breeze. It pulls me back to the feeling down on my knees, to the scent of what's broken, to the taste of what's gone, drenched in the ache where the rain lingers on. I used to think it was peace that the rain could bring, like cleansing the memory of every crowded thing. It's the sense of something buried, too deep to find, the memory of a life that the clouds left behind. I stumble through puddles, through shadows of them, searching for you in the scent of the rain again.
twee oude bekenden in deze band, de Corey Plump van Spray Paint en Steve Shelley van Sonic Youth. Samen met ander goed volk vormen ze dit Winged Wheel meer een gelegenheidsorkest dan een echte band, maar als ze nog eens samen muziek maken, dan klinkt het toch altijd weer goed. De nieuwe plaat is pas voor begin januari, maar dit was al een eerste nummer daaruit, Speed Table van Winged Wheel. En als we dan toch met bekende namen aan het strooien zijn voor hun vorige plaat Anywhere But Here, deed het Londense vijftal Sorry een beroep op Adrian Utley, een van de Portishead breinen. Dat is 3 jaar geleden. Volgende week verschijnt hun nieuwe album Cosplay en daarop staat dit stuiterende Today Might Be The Hit van Sorry.
Today might be the hit. Oh yeah. Today might be the
Pressure van Baby Tyler. Dat was oorspronkelijk het trashy solo punkproject van Tyler Fasnacht uit Madison, Wisconsin. Ondertussen is Baby Tyler 5 jaar en 5 platen verder en is het ook een vijftal geworden. Dit kwam uit de nieuwe plaat Sucker with a Dream die vorige week uitkwam. Creeha is een jonge band uit Dublin. Ze houden van postpunk, maar voegen ook noise rock en shoegaze toe aan hun geluid. Amper een jaar zijn ze bezig en binnen exact een week verschijnt er een eerste EP in eigen beheer, A Brief Respite. Die zal openen met deze single Feed My Head van Creeha.
Flesh is in my pocket. Desire hangs on back.
Young Runner van his Electro Blue Voice. De band uit Italië maakte meer dan 10 jaar geleden vanuit het niets Root the Sperm een geweldige gitaarplaat die meteen bij Sub Pop verscheen. Maar die verdween een beetje in het niets en de band veranderde radicaal van geluid en verhuisde meteen ook naar kleinere labels. Om de zoveel tijd verschijnt er nog eens iets zoals het nieuwe verzamelaar No Value 2125 met muziek die alle richtingen uitgaat. Alleen dit Young Runner dat we zo net speelden komt nog in de buurt van het vroegere werk. In 2019 begon Alex Ashtawi vanuit Kiev muziek uit te brengen onder de naam Morwan. Zijn rauwe muziek is zwaar beïnvloed door shoegaze, avant-garde, donkere wave en postpunk. Ondertussen is Morwan een band geworden en in de nieuwe thuisstad Berlijn werd afgelopen jaren gewerkt aan een nieuwe plaat. De Oekraïense titel daarvan kun je vertalen als All in a Circle Again. Ostanya Mwet is een van de nummers daarop. Dit is Morwan.
Ты же оптовый.
Soms zijn er bands die alleen al door hun naam ons prikkelen. Daar is dit shoegazende viertal uit Philadelphia zeker in geslaagd. Dit was Sore Diesel uit Lotto en dat is de nieuwe plaat van They Are Gutting a Body of Water. Wij gaan eruit met Baan, niet het Belgische Baan, maar het Zuid-Koreaanse Baan. Hun nieuwe plaat is uit bij The Ghost Is Clear en daarmee is het meteen al duidelijk om welk genre het gaat. Brute noise rock. Al gaat het bij Baan niet gewoon rechtdoor, hun nummers nemen de tijd om hun herrie op te bouwen. Dit is nog Early Bird, Bird Dies Fast van Baan. Veel plezier met sterrenplaten zo meteen. Zij delen vrijkaarten uit voor John Mouse en Gonzo Circus is te gast. En wij zijn er weer volgende week.
Friends, hello, this is Yanis Varoufakis. This speech was meant to be transmitted, broadcast, spoken live during the Palestine Congress in Berlin, Friday the 12th of April. But because the German police, egged on by the whole of the political system of the Federal Republic of Germany, burst in and prevented Jews, Palestinians, and the rest of us who wanted to have a congress during which to discuss peace, reconciliation, coexistence, universal human rights from the Jordan River to the Mediterranean Sea. German police proved beyond reasonable doubt by bursting in and interrupting the live stream, grabbing the microphone, ending that magnificent congress, that fascism does not need to win government in order to be in power. So allow me to say what I was going to say if the live stream was not so rudely interrupted by German coppers. Friends, congratulations and heartfelt thanks for being here, even though we were interrupted. Despite the threats, despite the police state, despite the panoply of the German press, despite the German political system that demonizes you for being here today. Why a Palestinian Congress, Mr. Varoufakis? A German journalist asked me recently. Because, as Hanan Ashrawi once said, we cannot rely on the silenced to tell us about their suffering. Today, Hanan Ashrawi's reason has grown depressingly stronger. Because we cannot rely on the silenced, who are also massacred and starved, to tell us about the massacres and the starvation. But there's another reason too. Because a proud, a decent people, the people of Germany, are being led down a perilous road to a heartless society by being made to associate themselves with another genocide carried out, again, in their name, with their complicity. I'm neither Jewish nor Palestinian, but I am incredibly proud to be here amongst Jews and Palestinians to blend my voice for peace and universal human rights with Jewish voices for peace and universal human rights with Palestinian voices for peace and universal human rights. Being together here today, even though we were so rudely interrupted by German police, being together here is proof that coexistence is not only possible, but that it is here already. Why not a Jewish Congress, Mr. Varoufakis? The same German journalist asked me, imagining that he was being smart. I welcomed his question. For if a single Jew is threatened anywhere, just because she or he is Jewish, I shall wear the Star of David on my lapel and offer my solidarity, whatever the cost, whatever it takes. So let's be clear. If Jews were under attack anywhere in the world, I would be the first to canvass for a Jewish Congress in which to register our solidarity. Similarly, when Palestinians are massacred because they are Palestinians, under the dogma that to be dead and Palestinian must mean that you are Hamas, I shall wear my keffiyeh and offer my solidarity, whatever the cost, whatever it takes, to the people of Palestine. Universal human rights, folks, are either universal or they are nothing. With this in mind, I answered the journalist's question with a few questions of my own. Were 2 million Israeli Jews thrown out 80 years ago from their homes into an open-air prison and kept for those 80 years in that open-air prison without access to the outside world, with minimal food and water, no chance of a normal life, no opportunity to travel, and being bombed periodically for 80 years? No. Are Israeli Jews being starved intentionally by an army of occupation? Their children writhing on the floor, screaming from hunger? No. Are there thousands of Jewish injured children with no surviving parents crawling through the rubble as we speak, the rubble of what used to be their homes? No. Are Israeli Jews being bombed by the world's most sophisticated aeroplanes and bombs today? No. Are Israeli Jews experiencing complete ecocide of what little land they can still call their own? Not one tree left under which to seek shade or whose fruit to taste? No. Are Israeli Jewish children being killed today, now, by snipers at the orders of a member state of the United Nations? No. Are Israeli Jews driven out of their homes by armed gangs today? No. Is Israel fighting for its existence today? No. If the answer to any of these questions had been yes, I would be participating in a Jewish Solidarity Congress today. Friends, today, We would have loved to have a decent, democratic, mutually respectful debate on how to bring peace about, on how to bring universal human rights for everyone, Jews and Palestinians, Bedouins and Christians, from the Jordan River to the Mediterranean Sea, and to have this debate with people who think differently to us. We would have loved that. Sadly, as the German police just proven, and the whole of the German political system has been trying to do now for weeks to ban our conference, they did not allow this. Indeed, the whole of the political spectrum, from the CDU and CSU to the FDP, to the SPD, the Greens, and remarkably, to leaders of Die Linke in Berlin. Shame on you, comrades. Shame on you. They all joined forces to ensure that our civilized debate may be with them. A debate in which we may disagree agreeably never takes place in Berlin, never takes place in Germany. I say to them, you want to silence us, to ban us, to demonize us, to accuse us. You therefore leave us with no choice but to meet your ridiculous accusations with very logical, fair accusations of our own. You chose this, not us. You accuse us of anti-Semitic hatred. We accuse you of being the anti-Semite's best friend when you equate the right of Israel to commit war crimes with the right of Israeli Jews to defend themselves. You accuse us of supporting terrorism. We accuse you of equating legitimate resistance to an apartheid state with atrocities against civilians, which I have always and will always condemn, whomever commits them, Palestinians, Jewish settlers, my own family, whomever. We accuse you of not recognizing the duty of the people of Gaza to tear down the wall of the open prison in which they've been encased, confined, for 80 years, and of equating this act of tearing down the wall of shame, which is no more defensible, remember, than the Berlin Wall was, with acts of terror. You accuse us of trivializing Hamas's October 7th attacks. We accuse you of trivializing the 80 years of Israel's ethnic cleansing of Palestinians and the erection of an unclad apartheid system across Israel and Palestine. We accuse you of trivializing Netanyahu's long-term support of Hamas, a support that Netanyahu has lent Hamas as a means of destroying the two-state solution that you claim to favor. We accuse you of trivializing the unprecedented terror unleashed by the Israeli army on the people of Gaza, in the West Bank, in East Jerusalem. You accuse the organizers of today's Congress that we are, and I quote from your text, not interested in talking about possibilities for peaceful coexistence in the Middle East against the background of the war in Gaza. Are you serious? Have you lost your mind? We accuse you of supporting a German state that is, after the United States, the largest supplier of the weapons that the Netanyahu regime uses to massacre Palestinians as part of a grand plan to make a two-state solution and peaceful coexistence between Jews and Palestinians absolutely impossible. We accuse you of never answering the pertinent question that every German must answer. How much Palestinian blood must flow before your justified guilt over the Holocaust is washed away? So let's be clear. We are here in Berlin with our Palestinian Congress, which your police state has disrupted and banned. We are here, nevertheless, because unlike the German political system and the German state and the German media, we condemn genocide and war crimes regardless of who is perpetrating them, just as we opposed apartheid in the American South or in South Africa. We oppose apartheid in the land of Israel, Palestine, no matter who has the upper hand. Because we stand for universal human rights, freedom and equality among Jews, Palestinians, Bedouins, and Christians in the ancient land of Palestine. And so that we're even clearer on the questions that journalists or politicians put to us, legitimate or malignant. Let me be clear. Do I condemn Hamas's atrocities? I condemn every single atrocity, whomever is the perpetrator or the victim. What I do not condemn, and I will never condemn, is armed resistance to an apartheid system designed as part of a slow-burning but inexorable ethnic cleansing program. Put differently, I condemn every attack on civilians, while at the same time, I celebrate anyone who risks their life to tear down the wall of shame. Is Israel not engaged in a war for its very existence, as some say? No, it is not. Israel is a nuclear-armed state with perhaps the most technologically advanced army in the world, and the panoply of the United States military machine having its back. There is no symmetry with Hamas. Hamas is a group which can cause and has caused serious damage to Israelis, but which has no capacity whatsoever to defeat Israel's military, or even to prevent Israel from continuing to implement the slow genocide, not so slow these days, of Palestinians under the system of apartheid that has been erected with long-standing American, German, and European Union support. Are Israelis not justified to fear that Hamas wants to exterminate them? Of course they are. Jews have suffered a Holocaust that was preceded with pogroms and a deep-seated antisemitism permeating the whole of Europe and the Americas for centuries. It is only natural that Israelis live in fear of a new pogrom if the Israeli army falls. I understand that. That's perfectly understandable. However, by imposing apartheid on their Palestinian neighbors, by treating them like Untermenschen, subhumans, the Israeli state is stoking the fires of antisemitism. It is strengthening those Palestinians and Israelis who want just to annihilate each other. And in the end, apartheid contributes to the awful insecurity consuming Jews in Israel and the diaspora. To put it bluntly, apartheid against Palestinians is the Israelis' worst self-defense. What about antisemitism? Antisemitism is always a clear and present danger, a danger that must be eradicated, especially amongst the ranks of the global left and the Palestinians fighting for Palestinian civil liberties everywhere. Others ask, why don't Palestinians pursue their objectives by peaceful means? They did. The PLO recognized Israel, even though Israel never recognized Palestine. And the PLO famously renounced armed struggle. And what did they get for it? Absolute humiliation and systematic ethnic cleansing in the West Bank. It's going on as we speak. That is what nurtured Hamas and elevated Hamas in the eyes of many Palestinians as the only alternative to the genocide of the Palestinian people under Israel's apartheid. What should be done now? What might bring peace to Israel-Palestine?
First,
an immediate, unconditional ceasefire. Second, the release of all hostages, Hamas's hostages, and the thousands of hostages held by Israel. That must be the first step towards a peace process under the auspices of the United Nations, supported by a commitment by the international community to end apartheid and to safeguard equal civil liberties and equal political rights for everyone, for all. What should replace Israeli apartheid? Well, that must be left to Israelis and Palestinians to decide between the two-state solution and the solution of a single federal secular state. But under the condition that the international community has made it clear to everyone that there will be equal political rights and equal civil liberties from the Jordan River to the Mediterranean Sea. Friends, in the final analysis, we are here because vengeance is a lazy form of grief. We are here to promote not vengeance, but peace and coexistence across Israel-Palestine. We are here to tell German Democrats, including our former comrades of Die Linke, who have been a great disappointment, that they have covered themselves in shame long enough, that two wrongs do not one right make, that allowing Israel to get away with war crimes is not going to ameliorate the legacy of Germany's crimes against the Jewish people. Beyond today's Congress, we have a duty, in Germany in particular, to change the conversation. We have a duty to persuade the vast majority of decent Germans out there that universal human rights is what matters. That never again means never again for anyone, Jew, Palestinian, Ukrainian, Russian, Yemeni, Sudanese, Rwandan, for everyone, everywhere. In this context, I am pleased to announce that DiEM25's German political party, Mera25, will be on the ballot paper in the European Parliament elections this coming June in Germany. MERA 25 Germany will be seeking the vote of German humanists who crave at least one member of European Parliament representing Germany and calling out the European Union's complicity in genocide. A complicity that is Europe's greatest gift to the anti-Semites in Europe and beyond. I salute you all, and I suggest that we never forget that none of us is free if one of us is in chains. Carpe diem.
Sterreplaten extra.
Weird music isn't weird anymore. It's just music that exists.
Goedenavond en welkom bij Sterreplaten. Vandaag in onze uitzending een interview met Why Boy Scream. We hebben Michaela Tobin vorige week, of zondag eigenlijk, geïnterviewd in Brussel. Het resultaat daarvan hoor je vandaag bij ons. We gaan beginnen met Dialect, oftewel Andrew P.M. Hunt. Zijn album Advanced Myth komt binnen 2 weken uit. Daarop ja, mengeling van found sounds en elektronische... en akoestische klanken, maar vooral heel erg elektronisch bewerkt. We draaien eruit Chroma van Dialect. Goedenavond.
Thank you.